to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise. You can begin to fall back into the hands of the enemy. So wipe out everything the enemy is doing. That's what David did. Wipe out everything that Satan is doing in your life. Can you isolate it now tonight? Is there anything in your marriage, in your life, spiritually, where the enemy is coming in and there's a foothold there? That means that there's a foot in way of you closing the door. It's that entrance point.
Westside Christian Fellowship is a non-denominational church that meets in Leona Valley, California, just west of Palmdale. More information can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. We hope that you enjoy this thought-provoking message. Lord, I want to see
your face. Pass me by the crowd. Here I go, and I got grumbling and complaining. Or what about when we go to work? Do you know what? I don't know. It's like half the world now. I saw this on the news site that I shouldn't have been on. Half the world lives on, like, I don't want to say the wrong number, but $5 a day? I had to open, I'm like, are you kidding me? And I see all these people posting complaints and grumbling, complaining, you know, taxes, higher gas taxes. I'm all for low taxes. Get that gas price down. Let's control OPEC, okay? I'm with you. But we shouldn't be grumbling and complaining. That shouldn't be the mark of us. Because most are considered millionaires in third world countries. Most of you would be considered millionaires in third world countries. So we put that in perspective, grumbling and complaining. And God, why did you, it's grumbling and complaining against God. Why did you put me in this situation? Why did you put me in this circumstance? Why are you allowing this to happen? Why? And I'm grumbling, complaining, and I tell others, and it becomes to foster division and promote and fuel division. But here's something David did in the midst of all this. You know what's interesting? I don't know about you, but I probably would have grabbed a weapon and got on the horse and let's go now. And this bothered me a little bit. I haven't got quite an answer. But he stopped and he sought God and said, Lord, is it your will that we pursue him? Is it your will that we pursue these guys that took our wives? Well, hello? No, just let them. But, and of course, you can't read too much into text. But I think it's just a safe way to Lord, is this your, because he's not saying, no, let them take your spouses necessarily, your kids and everything. But it could be in his timing. It could have been, hold on, David. Hold on. I'm dealing with something right now. I mean, if he killed 185,000 with one angel, you know, it's always good to go to God and say, Lord, is this attitude right? Is this next step right? What about if David was going in the wrong spirit or was going to maybe not rest? And we actually find out that they almost, many of them, I think 200 didn't make it because they were too tired. They couldn't go on. They couldn't go on to fight. So David said, Lord, is your will? Lord said, absolutely, it's my will. Go take them and take back everything. But he stopped and he sought God. And that is so important because if we don't do that, what happens? Impulse. We react instead of respond. You know the difference is somebody hit them back. That's reacting. Responding is somebody hits me. Why'd you do that? And you respond. You're able to make a better decision there. So whatever this, however this would apply to you, always remember that stop and seek God. And that's really about refocusing. You get okay, here's what's going on. I'm not going to let my temper, any anger in here? I'll say that one for Sunday morning too. But I'm going to refocus. I'm not going to let my temper, my anger. So many people make hasty decisions in anger. Hasty emails, hasty text messages, hasty, and just that anger. But when you need to encourage yourself, just stop and say, Lord, what is your will? And if you're like me, you're not going to hear, you know, sounds from heaven. Oh, that was clear. Thank you. It's usually that deep peace That deep, okay, God heard me. I'm listening. I have this desire to move forward. I think this is your will. And you step out in faith, trusting God. But you sought him first. And then what I didn't read, what I just talked about, though, is fatigue set in. Fatigue set in, and it brought in new challenges. Be very careful of fatigue. Be very careful of fatigue. It's always a tactic of the enemy to get you when you're down and tired. Actually, back to addiction ministry, there's a principle called halt. Halt. You have to watch out when you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. That's usually when the devil attacks in those areas. And they were tired. They were wiped out. So David actually did something interesting. He allowed them to stay with their goods while the other men went and fought the battle. Then when the other men came back, it created another problem because they didn't want the 200 that were tired to share in their conquest. And it's that famous statement. Some people use it to raise money and different things, and I'm not going there, but where David talked about that those who are here with the material, with the booty, with the food and all the supplies, they will receive and share in what we also accomplished when we overtook this army. So all of us will still share in that success, not going to isolate this small group of men who didn't go to fight because they're too tired. Also, I picked up from this that we need to wipe out everything the enemy is doing. Wipe out everything the enemy is doing, because if you leave him a stronghold, or a foothold, or if you leave the door open or cracked, he's going to come in that area. I just sneeze. I'm thinking, how am I going to do that? I haven't done that before in a sermon, I don't think. So anyway, back on track. So you have to wipe out everything the enemy is doing. If you see the enemy doing something, if he's coming in any area, if he's bringing in discouragement, be careful, because it's often discouragement that leads us to take a step away from God. That's how he usually reels us away from God. Discouragement. Then we start to compromise our values. Then we say, well, forget it then. I'm just going to, whatever. And when you're discouraged, you can begin to fall back into the hands of the enemy. So wipe out everything the enemy is doing. That's what David did. Wipe out everything that Satan is doing in your life. Can you isolate it now tonight? Is there anything in your marriage, in your life, spiritually, where the enemy is coming in, and there's a foothold there? That means that there's a foot in way of you closing the door. It's that entrance point. And we like to play with the devil. The Bible says, flee. Remember that game, Patty Cake? Patty Cake with the devil. That's a good sermon title, but it's not a good thing to apply to your life. You can't negotiate. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. What I really don't like about the devil is when you're having a bad day, he doesn't say, let's back off now. What does he do? Full throttle, goes in for the kill, merciless. So you have an adversary that is described as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's going about, he's merciless. He could care less if he lies and deceives. His whole agenda is to dethrone the God he sees in you, to have you lose your testimony, to have you be ineffective. Can you imagine if this whole church were spirit-filled believers evangelizing daily, praying for healing? And it happens like the book of Acts. We read in the Bible. He would hate that. So what's he do? He tries to discourage the majority of the people. Discourage them from being filled with the Spirit of God. Discourage them from fully surrendering their lives. Can you imagine if you said, God, I want to be fully used of you. I don't care what it means. I don't care what it involves. I want to be fully used of you. And God begins to shape you and pull out things that shouldn't be there. And the enemy is still there. So we have to wipe out everything that the enemy is doing. If you see something he's doing, what does the Bible say to do with sin? Coddle it or crucify it? Let it grow a little bit or pluck it out? Feed it or starve it? And I've noticed when I begin to honor God in this area, I encourage myself because I'm obeying his word. It's something I didn't note earlier, but disobedience always leads to discouragement. When we disobey God's word, when you know you're not doing what God's word says, do you think you're encouraged and happy? And just loving life, even though I'm outside of God's will? No. I believe a majority of people are discouraged because they are disobedient in what God says. Now, let me encourage. God is just looking for us to say, it's wrong. I have been disobedient. Lord, would you please help me get back on track? I'm going to begin to honor you again. I'm going to watch my mouth or whatever the problem is, or I'm repenting. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to make that right. I'm going to give up these habits. I'm going to make a complete shift in my lifestyle. I want to honor you. God, would you help me with that? And you're right there. You're back in the center of God's will. Isn't that interesting? You could drive off the road. And God will put you right back on the road. Now, there's consequences. See, that's where we get a little confused. I just got a letter, I think I told some of you, a while back. A friend of mine, I actually let him preach for me in Lancaster. Started to slide. Started dating somebody probably shouldn't have been. And then began to sleep together and would use Old Testament examples of, we've consummated it in God's eyes. You know, this baloney. And that led back to alcohol, which he said he would never touch. That led then into crystal meth, methamphetamine, heroin. He preached for me. Heroin, and to feed that desire, he stole from a home. And the people I know took him, went to court. It was the right thing to do and forgave him right there, but they had to move forward and they gave him 8 years. 8 years, felony back in RGD. Correctional Institute down by Tijuana. I went down there twice. And I don't think I've left there yet not crying. He hasn't. He says, you got to cut the sin off early. You got to cut it. He should have aborted it when it first started. But it is hard. You get on that slippery slope. But can you imagine how to, I can't even fathom it, falling that far. It took about 2 or 3 years. So you have to wipe it out. If there's something in your life that you know is not right, confide in someone. Gosh, in my past, I've told people before, hey, I struggle in this area. Hold me accountable. You bring it to the light. You bring it to the surface. If it's starting to come in again, with guys with pornography now, women, I mean, the statistics on that is alarming as well. There's no shame in telling, going to a group and telling someone, hey, this is an area I struggle with. You know, don't ask me to hold you accountable. I mean, it's not really their job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. It's an extra layer there, but you've got to be accountable to God. And you've got to put safeguards on your phones. And you've got to say, I want this bad enough to do that. It's interesting. I've talked to guys, especially I went to men's conferences. And I've mentioned their software on you can put on your phone that I have. and it'll send your wife what you visit once a week. You're like, oh, I'm not doing that. Well, wait a minute. How bad do you want this? Well, see, that's where the rubber meets the road. Now, that might not be a good idea for some of you. You know, I'm not saying it's a blanket approach that everybody needs to do, because, you know, there's wisdom there, but you can put somebody on there, you know, and that's just one layer of accountability, because you're showing God how bad I want it. Lord, I want deliverance. I want freedom, because if your plan's not working, it's time for a new plan. It's time to take these changes seriously. Now, something I don't want to get into too much, but David was actually off fighting with the enemy. He was on the side of the Philistines when this happened, fighting with them. There's a lot to that. David had to kind of take that side because Saul was after him, and there's a lot to it. But it just made me think for a minute. It was counterproductive. Had he not been fighting for the enemy, would he have been home guarding his family? And back to the watchtower men, I believe God has called us to be those watchmen on the tower, watching. So if the enemy's got our hands tied behind our backs, our feet bound, and we're not fulfilling that watchman role, we could be fighting for the enemy on his side. Not really technically, but being caught up in all these things that are driving us away from God. David probably shouldn't have been with the Philistines. They're raiding the children of Israel, different camps, and taking things and plundering them. He probably, again, just speculation here, Scripture doesn't talk about that, but I don't think it was productive. And this could have been why. He should have been watching his own family, watching those he was given care of, instead of off doing this with possibly the enemy could have called him away. So be careful. Anytime, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God. When God has called you to do something, especially men, I know this being a little direct here, but if God's called you to do something, or even women in a certain area, you have to stay in that role, fulfill that role. So let me just end with an encouraging point here. When you're being challenged, when you're being what you maybe consider harassed, when there's resistance, know that God is working in all of that. I've given this example before, but it fits perfectly. Do you know how muscle builds? It's first torn down. So when all, you go, you know, if you work out, do things, and you're doing curls, say, right, that muscle fiber is being broken down. It's being hurt from the resistance. That's why they call it resistance training. It's being broken down so it builds up stronger for the next time. Same thing spiritually speaking. There's a story, I hope I remember it correctly, by Jensen Franklin. He talked about a fisherman who would always come in from fishing, and every time he'd stop at the dock, he would sell out of his fish, because you could sell it right there at the dock. True story, I believe. And he would always sell out these fresh fish, you know, still alive, and he was a top fisherman. And these other fishermen didn't know how he was doing this, because by the time they were way out, miles out in the ocean, by the time they got in, the fish are in those water wells, in the water where they would put the fish, they're dead or lifeless. And people didn't want to, I don't want to buy a dead fish, unless it's, you know, been dead fairly recently and in the cold water and things. So they'd wonder, how are these fish so fresh? And, you know, they would pull them out and here's this live fish. And so one of the fishermen went and he looked in his big tank and he saw this huge catfish in there. And he said, why is the catfish in there? He goes, it keeps the fish moving. It keeps them alive. It keeps them running from the catfish. So maybe what the enemy, parallel now with the enemy after us is a battle. It'll keep us spiritually alive, spiritually active, not set into boredom and laziness, but that enemy knowing that there's a lion, I might keep an eye on my door a lot more. It's and the same thing with muscle resistance, that resistance. Without the resistance, there's no growth. So if you're going to grow spiritually, if you're going to grow spiritually, you will be faced with difficult seasons. You will get discouraged. How do you know God is all these things I just read unless you've been discouraged? How do you know is the God who sustains when you felt breathless and like giving up? How do you know the God that really provides when you've been without, if you haven't been without? So that's how we learn a lot of these things, is through God working through resistance, through spiritual warfare, as we submit and surrender. Actually, I'll give you a secret to spiritual maturity. Talk to those that you know have been around a while. If they are spiritually mature in the faith, ask them if they've had any spiritual battles. Ask them, have you ever been discouraged? Well, sit down, because it's going to be a while. Maturity, Christian maturity, is just like a person who's been lifting weights a long time. They know the attacks of the enemy. They've fought through discouragement. They've built themselves up. They haven't fallen back. And they stand before us as overcomers, of those who have walked and fought the good fight of faith. That's what Paul said towards the end of his life. I fought the good fight. Isn't it interesting? I fought the good fight. Not I laid on the cot all month. I mean, you just don't find that. Well, I'm at the end of my life, and it's been, gosh, I've been down at Mazatlan with coronas for the last year, and retired, and this is just a wonderful life. You don't see any of that. I fought the good fight. See, if you can remember that, okay. See, if it is about changing perspective, isn't it? Because if you say, okay, I know what's going on. I'm lifting weights, right? I'm discouraged. The enemy, whatever, this is part of building. Am I going to throw in the towel? Am I going to get discouraged? Am I going to get negative and grumbling, complaining? Because that's the end result I think he's also looking for, is to start grumbling and complaining. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm discouraged, I'm not a happy talker. And you get around those people they just drive you crazy. Huh? Like mom, huh, Meredith? She's an encourager. Like, God, be discouraged sometimes. It's just that attitude of encouragement. And it becomes... And it's you do have to get yourself back to that spot. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. You're going to have to learn how to do that. What happens when we don't do that, we think sometimes we can just find the middle ground. I've talked about this before. There's not middle ground. We often are either encouraging ourselves in the Lord or we're getting discouraged. There's not a fence to walk. We have to learn to encourage ourselves. Okay, Lord, I'm going to focus on, what do we learn today? I'm going to focus on thankfulness. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm pretty sure you can find some things to be thankful about. If you have a good job, a good family, health, good church, good friends, there's so many things to be thankful on. You close the door on the enemy. You don't play around with sin, because ultimately his goal is to kill, steal, and to destroy. He leads us down one step at a time, one compromise at a time, one wrong choice at a time. And begin. Make sure you're not on the enemy's side and playing into his game plan.
Hi, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman with Westside Christian Fellowship. Leonard Ravenhill said something many years ago that has really impacted my life. He said, "Will we look back with shame as we remember nights of prayer and genuine gifts of the Holy Ghost when we were not clock watchers? And our meetings lasted for hours, saturated with holy power. Have we no tears for these memories or shame that our children know nothing of such power?" Our goal at Westside Christian Fellowship is not to be clock watchers. We want to experience God and see lives radically changed. We are located just west of Palmdale, California, in Leona Valley. Since service times may change to accommodate growth and future campuses may be added, please visit our website for more information. You can also watch our services live and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Everything can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org.
my lips. Here I am.